Welcome to another episode of Soul Searcher with Natalie Brown. This is your journey to spiritual enlightenment and soul alignment, and I'm so excited to share more of my wisdom, more of my love, and to lead and serve with love, and to be able to help you create the life that you absolutely love. Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Soul Searcher. Today, I am joined by the beautiful and gorgeous, lovely Julia Phoenix, and I'm so happy to have you on here. We connected not too long ago, and our connection was like, yep, we're kindred spirits. You know, we just could talk forever and a day. So welcome and thank you for being here, Julia.
Thank you so much for having me, Natalie. I'm really excited to be here.
It's my pleasure. So tell us where you're from, what you do, a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, I'm beautiful, gorgeous, and amazing. No, just kidding.
Yes, you are. Oh, no, girl.
I had to throw that in there. I am a leadership and liberation mentor for women, and I'm a DNA activator. I have my own modality that I created called Rapid Shift Integration, and I've been working as a healer in the online space since 2015. I grew up in the Bay Area in California, so kind of like San Francisco area, but grew up mostly in Palo Alto, so right at the heart of Silicon Valley. You know, where all the big tech companies are located in the 90s when everything was kind of taking off. So it's a little bit of an interesting experience, I think, growing up in that era, in that specific spot on the planet. And, you know, I'm sure we might get into some of this today with our topic, but I grew up in an environment where my parents were involved in what I would call like an Eastern spiritual cult. And there was a lot of really, you know, in some ways, there was a lot of stuff that I was introduced to that I'm grateful that I was introduced to at a young age, right? Like meditation, like I'm sitting at 4 years old in meditation, you know, but also there was, yeah, a lot of really dark stuff that was occurring as well within that organization, and certainly a lot of darkness within the household. All of it was very much hidden though. You know, it was very much like everything looked really perfect on the outside, and those appearances were so important to keep up and everything. But, you know, I am a survivor of, you know, some pretty intense childhood trauma, including childhood sexual abuse. And, you know, going through all of that at a really young age, it opened me up for a host of, I would say, coping mechanisms that followed me throughout my development, right? Like eating disorders and addictions of various kinds. And I would say that my personal sort of awakening journey actually started when I got clean and sober back in 2009. And so since then, you know, it's kind of like I spent the bulk of my 20s sort of slogging through all the stuff and doing a lot of therapy and 12-step work and inner child work. And then, you know, learning how to offer service to others in the unique ways that, you know, I'm meant to and coded to do, which has also been a process. You know, given my upbringing, I resisted a lot of this kind of more spiritual stuff in my work for a very long time. Until I couldn't anymore, right? And that's when the modality came through and I really stepped into being an activator and someone who works with leaders to help them reach their full potential and works with human beings to help them align with their organic template and their innate divinity. Mm. So that's me.
Beautiful. Welcome.
Thank you. Well, I just nutshelled my life in like 30
seconds. Amazing how we come to, you know, I believe that the people that are here to make waves, that are here, that's the huge, big people stepping up and showing the way. And we spoke about this the other day. We briefly touched on it. We always go through a lot of trauma, or are we being taken on a different route completely to get us kind of back to where we have to be. And within that, there is an immense amount of growth that happens through that. So you wouldn't have been able to step onto your journey of where you are right now, guiding beautiful women as well, unless you have gone through what you've gone through. And so in essence, we have to say thank you to those teachers, don't we, that have actually shown us the way, even though it was sometimes not the best way. Well, is there a good or a bad? I guess, we have to see it from a different perspective. So this is why our topic today is open eyes, open mind, open heart. And I feel when we begin to see our experiences with different eyes, and we change the perspectives of our mind or our belief systems, and we begin to delve into what the heart is showing us, how to move forward from the heart space, that is just when our life begins to change in a big way. And it changed for you. And you had to go through all of this stuff. So tell me a little bit more. And I do feel that this would really benefit people to hear a little bit more about your story, if you feel comfortable to share this about, your upbringing and, what that meant for you, what happened, what were some of the pivotal moments in your childhood that helped you realize a lot of things as well?
Well, I would say most of the core realizations that, have been really important for me from those experiences did not happen until much later. It was more like you're just swimming in the soup of the trauma for a couple of decades there, right? But I was really quite young when I was sexually abused for the first time by my father. Just since you're sort of asking for more specifics, I don't always go into the specifics, and some people can't really handle that, but I know you speak really candidly and openly about your own experiences, and I think it can be really beneficial for people to hear that, especially if they have been through similar, because it's a long road, for most people back from that type of thing, because when you're so young, it's like it really, I'm talking about like 2 years old, like that really impacts the way your brain develops, the way your nervous system develops, right? In such an immense way, it colors everything about the way that you perceive the world around you, the way that you relate to yourself and others, right? And, my mother, I have so much love for her. Like what you were saying, it's like, it's so interesting because at this point in my process, like I have so much love for these people actually. And that came from going through all of the layers, right? And not bypassing any of it. So even the rage and the anger that I felt towards her and all of these things, so important to move through all of that in my experience and my opinion to be able to sit here and be like, I love my mother, And I do. But she was really, she had been through a lot of trauma herself in her childhood and in her experience, and she didn't know how to love a little girl and be a mom, and she was very unstable emotionally. So essentially, it was like there was no safe place for me. And, the spiritual organization that my family was involved in was also not a safe place. And a lot, again, a lot was shrouded in secrecy. The scandals that were happening, like the people who were really being harmed, like, and it was just being silenced, to the point where, images of people who'd left were burned, like, and you just didn't, they were taken out of books. Like, you just don't get the truth. But being a really sensitive and open kid, with my little crystal aura and my, whatever, like, I'm like, I can feel all of this. And I'm also seeing certain things, right? I'm seeing these like dark entities in this space that people are telling me this is like the house of God, this is like this great thing. And so what that actually creates is like an immense sense of like confusion and dissonance, right? And just like an experience of being gaslit to such an extreme degree and feeling like for my safety, actually, if I'm dependent on these people for my safety and my survival, I can't actually acknowledge what I am seeing and sensing and experiencing and knowing as real. So I have to play the game and kind of step into the illusion, right? And I think for me personally, that was really the most painful part, if I'm really being honest. It's like that self-abandonment and disconnection from the self. So a lot of my healing process was just about getting to the truth and learning to trust what I'm perceiving, what my body is perceiving as real, you know? So for me personally, it was a lot of getting back into the body, a lot of inner child work, you know, a lot of this kind of somatic processing, and really learning to trust my own experience again, you know?
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing. So much of what you said deeply, deeply resonated with me. And I feel that gaslighting is a huge thing, and especially within the spiritual community, within any place where there is spirituality, especially within, the expanded or extended spiritual community, even today. There is this push and pull of energies. And I always say to people, come back to your truth. What feels real and true for you? That is the most important thing. Find yourself where are you at in the moment. Because if you feel this chaos and you feel that indecision and disconnection and all of that, is being created for you through what your external world is, then come back to self, come back to, really cultivating a connection, a deeper connection with yourself. And you said something interesting about self-abandonment. I feel a lot of people have this sense of shame around abandoning themselves. And it's something that I've really come across lately within working with people. There is this almost, I can't forgive myself for what I've been through and what I've put myself through. And this is a huge thing that is, and I can feel as I'm talking about it, it's actually affecting expression, our expression of self. We do not know how to express ourselves fully. And yeah, so what do you have, you as you've gone through it, what tips do you have to share around coming back to self? What was really, really amazing for you to come back to self?
I mean, I think for me personally, I have needed space holding and external points of reflection to kind of help me land there. So, working with people who were aligned for me at the time, right? The other pieces, like I mentioned, really getting back into the body because the body never, ever, ever, ever lies. And it's just right there all the time. So it's like that's your source. You know what I mean? I've done a number of different like soul retrieval processes and all kinds of things like this. But I think what's really important too, and what was really important for my process, is also just to kind of understand the functionality of these things and why we do the things that we do. You know, so I've studied, like, my background is in psychology and in human development, right? And looking at like children and childhood and developmental stages, and the fact, understanding the fact that it's like for a child, connection is literally survival. Like, so in order to survive, I think I even use that language. Like, if I'm gonna survive and these people are responsible for my survival, I need to maintain connection with them. And if a requirement for me to do that is abandonment of the self, that's what I'm going to do in order to survive. So I think forgiveness and, you know, compassion really comes from understanding. So it can be really beneficial to see these things through the lens of like understanding the reasons why and why it was actually, on some level, this is how I look at it, on some level, an act of self-love, because it's an act of self-preservation. It's an act of self-protection. And I didn't know how to do it any differently. Even the things that I did to, you know, you could look at it, like behaviors that I had, like cutting or bulimia, you know, you could just be like, that's horrible and so self-abusive. And yes, like you'd be right. However, those were parts of me that were desperately trying to get me what I needed. They were desperately trying to help me find something that I needed, whether it was expression, relief, you know, protection. Like I said, self-hatred can be a protection mechanism. These are coping mechanisms. So when I understood the mechanism, it was a lot easier for me to access that compassion. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, beautiful. We as humans, we have needs to fulfill, right?
Yes. Those needs
come from a deep-seated, like, belonging, sense of wanting to belong, yes. Want to be loved. And ultimately, that need is to just to be feeling safe, like you said, but to be loved, to be seen, to be understood, to be held, because we as humans, we are connected beings. And so ultimately, I see a lot of people going through the processes right now, especially after what happened with COVID, that disconnection that we all felt, you know, we were pulled apart, we were fighting each other. And a lot of people are making their way back to what connection actually means for them and to them. And this is such an important piece, especially at that age, you know, between the age of like, 0 and 7, where all our thought processes is kind of anchored in, where we finding our way. You know, we are born here as light, as love, into a world that is crazy, that is not necessarily love and light. And so it's us navigating our way through all of these different things and finding our path. And yes, we've chosen to be here in this space of disconnectedness to find that connection again within us, and we all go on a journey to be able to find that. Our souls have chosen this journey. And so I guess, what, you know, for those who's listening, if you're feeling disconnected from self, what is the need that you are trying to fulfill here? What is it that you are deeply desiring? And it always comes back to love, being seen, being held, being understood. And when you're truly, you know, accepting yourself fully, like you did, Julia, you stepped into so much acceptance and love of yourself and your family. And then things seem to be much easier, doesn't it? Life becomes easier and you navigate life with much more ease. And I think this is the biggest thing for people to understand, is that we make life harder than what it should be. Yes, we have difficult experiences, don't we? And we have crazy bloody experiences, but we also choose to sit within that emotional charges of what we've gone through for too long. And if only we knew, if only you know, for you that's listening out there, the power and the magnificence within you, by simply choosing a new way, in within an instant, you can change that. And I guess that's, Julia, what brought you to this incredible space of bringing through your modality as well, through your experiences. You had to unearth, you know, what was ready to be birthed through you in a big way. So tell us more about that. How did that come about?
Oh, well, it was interesting. I mean, I began doing work that was more closely related to trauma, and then also human relationships, you know. And when you're talking about needs and everything, this is really like my jam, because I think that human beings have needs. And I think that a lot of weird stuff that happens for us, particularly in relationships, are because of unmet needs, and because we have just a really distorted relationship to our own needs. Because, you know, we have these experiences in childhood, we weren't really taught that it's okay to need what we need, we don't know how to ask for it, we don't know how to identify it, right? So I did a lot of work that was kind of more in that vein, and I think I was really attached to, I had some ideas about like spirituality, about especially New Age and different things where I just didn't really want that much to do with it. And I rejected labels like psychic or things like this, even though I was always operating in those realms. I was always extremely connected in those spaces. I just was kind of in this like funny sort of denial space with it, again, because of my history. So part of the process for me was really about reclaiming spirituality without those distortions. And I had some people in my life, some mentors that really helped me to kind of do that. And, one of the things that happened to me was actually I moved to the location where I'm living currently, which is this tiny town called Bandon on the Oregon coast. But the land here, there's something very profound in this land when it comes to my activations that I needed, and I'm sure and probably some of your listeners know that, land contains codes and it can activate dormant DNA, right? So I get over here and all of a sudden, I'm walking on the ocean and I'm having these activations and these funny sounds are coming through me, I begin seeing different things and channeling different things and it was coming up in my sessions too, right? Like, and I think it's valuable to share this because there might be people out there in a similar position where it's like, I've got this stuff coming through me that wants to be done, but it's not, it feels weird, or I'm a little concerned people might think I'm crazy. Maybe not your audience, but I'd be sitting in a session with someone and this I'd have these sounds wanting to come through me, and it was like uncomfortable, So it took a minute for me to really get on board with doing that. I had a beautiful mentor who helped me kind of get over the hurdle of offering it more publicly, and this is one of the reasons why I really believe in mentorship and in the power of that, because sometimes we do need like that person next to us that is like, no, like I see the power in what you're offering. And like I'm behind you, and also to show us ways if we don't already have certain tools and capacities to make sure that what we're doing is really clean and everything like that, how to manage it, how to wield it, how to make sure the medicine is flowing as it's meant to. Like having someone with you through that process can be really helpful. So that was my experience. And then I just kind of shifted my whole business almost overnight. I was like, hi, I activate DNA. I'm an alien. Hello. It's nice to meet
Oh, it kind of happens like that. You can feel this brewing, and the same thing happened with Centaur, the creative frequency that I've brought through here. And I could feel this brewing, and I was still, doing Reiki, and I was back in the day, and I was like, but I'm doing Reiki, but I'm not doing Reiki. Something else is birthing through me, and I'm like, I'm denying what this intensity of it was so intense, and the light language that was wanting to come through me, and I was toning just like you, and all sorts of things, and it feels uncomfortable, it's unfamiliar, and you're like, what will people think about this? And I think that's the biggest thing that stops people from actually activating themselves into their next level greatness. And that's where mentorship comes in. And it's this, you as a mentor, right? We play this beautiful part where we're holding that person's hand, we're walking them home. And we're ultimately then showing them exactly the pieces that are wanting to be revealed within them, through them, that's ready to come alive within them. And that excites me when I see these incredible women and men, because I work with both women and men, but I see these people have that aha moment, that realization. It is uncomfortable to bring something that is so new to the world. these technologies that's being activated within people's source technologies, there's immense amount of different modalities being birthed into this world. And it's all because, not because of everyone jumping on the bandwagon as such. It's more about people are starting to recognize these soul gifts, and they're wanting to share those soul gifts because they have this soul mission to come here and do something different in this world, to release struggle and pain and fear and, the slave codes that we hold, because we hold slave codes.
Yes, we do. Yes, and that's a big piece of, what I kind of work with people around. Everything you're saying, I'm just like, yes, you're speaking my language, because I really see it too. Like, I really believe, and I see, like, it's more and more and more people who are, because we are unique portals of our own, access, right, to different things. Like, we have such unique medicine to bring forward. We have ancient tech and what you could call new tech, and it's wanting to come in. Like, and so it's like we can try to stop that process if that's happening for us, but the energy itself is like, hi, knock, 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 And so this is something that really excites me too. And in fact, I have a program running right now for women who are birthing their own unique modalities. And so much of it has to do with actually these other elements, that it's not about the technology, because the technology is already there. Like, it's going to come through. It's about creating the conditions to allow the technology to come through. It's about the self-trust, right? It's about those pieces around what will people think, and if I post about this on social media, what is my cousin Gary gonna have to say about it, or my neighbor next door that I'm Facebook friends with gonna have to say about it, or will I go through persecution like I did in all these other lifetimes? It's those pieces that I find people need more support with, rather than the actual development of the tech itself,
Yeah, so much, because we tell ourselves a lot of bullshit, right? We love just continuing and perpetuating the cycle as such, of that persecution. And this is, I always say, on the other side of fear lies your greatness. The fear that you're feeling often is misconstrued, or there is this idea that that fear is holding you back. But actually, that is underneath that fear, what's the emotion? Anger, perhaps, or a sense of shame. And when we begin to work with those emotions and feelings, that's where the power lies. And it's so beautiful when I'm hearing you speak, about what you do for women and how you helping them to see themselves. It's amazing. And I feel that we need more people like, us that really celebrate people where they're at, but also show them what's possible.
Yes, I love that. And that's really, that's 100% my jam, because I think seeing someone where they're at and being able to hold the reality of what they're currently moving through with a lot of compassion and tenderness is important, but also not limiting them to that. Also being able to see and to hold, like, this massive potential and the power that they have, to be able to reflect that back to them, so that they can begin to really internalize that, experience that, bring that more forward. All of that.
That gives
All
me
of that.
goosebumps. It makes me so excited, because that's where the transformation lies, so much so. Too many people want to be out of their bodies. I did a live about this yesterday, about embodiment, the embodiment piece. And too many people want to be out of their bodies and try and find, themselves in the cosmos, which is great, okay, but This is where the magic happens in our bodies, right? It is about being here right now and truly feeling every single emotion that's moving through you. Because when you do, that's where the alchemy begins to weave its magic through your life and through your thought processes, and your heart opens up to more of your magic and your medicine that can flow through you. And
That's right.
so many people are disconnected from their bodies. And I see this a lot at festivals and kind of workshops and things like that, where we are not working with the body in the body, but bringing our divinity into that space as well, to be able to create those transformations. And I think that's why, a lot of your work and a lot of people's work, especially you with your DNA activation that's coming through, it's unlocking, which Centaurus is exactly the same. It is unlocking the codes within you that's been dormant for a very long time, upgrading our light body so that we can infuse more light, that we can understand more of the wisdom within ourselves, within our soul light, that's coming through. And but it needs to, there's this process of being able to do that. People look at the work that we do and they go, well, I want to be where you are. I want to, do what you're doing. But you have to go through the process, right, to get to where we have come to in this lifetime. What
Yes,
do you think about that?
I would say so, and people really want to skip over, like you said, like the embodiment work because there's a lot of pain that's there that we are gonna have to feel through and move through, and I think it's normal to feel like a resistance to that. And some people will even kind of say like, well, what's the point, if I could just go out there, but it's like, if that was all we were supposed to do here, we would just not even be in bodies, we just wouldn't be in a body. Right. And the medicine comes through the vessel. Like, we can only bring through the vessel what is ours to bring through. And you can't bring through the vessel, like, something that's not yours to bring through. How do you access it? Where do you access it? It's in the body, and I also think that certain things will unlock more for people. This is what I've seen as well, not only for myself, but for other individuals, even individuals that I've worked with. It's almost like they reach a limit where they don't there's no more access to different realms or abilities or whatever cool thing they're like want. It's like, I've been trying to astral travel and I'm listening to these astral travel tapes every night, and it's like, it's not working, it's not working. That access gets blocked off because you need to come home to the body. And the more that we do that, it is actually like bringing more of our soul home. There's a reason why my modality is called rapid shift integration. The integration is the integration of your soul into the physical vessel, right? Like, that's what we're here to do. We're not here to go out. We can do that all day on the Pleiades, you and me, Natalie.
Absolutely. That's a very interesting thing you just mentioned about the soul as well. A lot of people think their soul is like out there somewhere in the cosmos, and that it is, that they have to go find their soul. You are the divine spark. You have your soul is you. You are it. So tapping into this beautiful vessel that it's so juicy and amazing and magical to be able to be in this body. And when we connect with our soul within our body, the experiences that we have and the astral travel that we can attain through that, it is all here available for us. So if you out there listening and you're like wondering, should I do plant medicine? Shall I do this? Shall I do that? To be able to come back to myself. Often what happens is that, yes, through those experiences, you can call parts of yourself back. However, in your full state of consciousness, and this is very much me as a teacher of the divine, I believe in that we are source and that those activations lie within us, and that the souls, the mentors, the people that come into our life are simply there to help us remember that, to help us also bring those activations into form here. And but often we have these people that are living only from soul and not living from body. They are so high that they're not actually in this human experience, because it's painful to be here. Like you said, you know, there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of nonsense that's here that we have to deal with. But this is an earth school, isn't it? We've come here to learn, to grow, to expand. A lot of us have come here to actually direct the change of times and to bring birth in a new consciousness. And this brings me to the DNA piece as well that you work with, that you, you know, I downloaded, and I'll quickly share this. I downloaded this beautiful piece of work through my wizard training. And Spirit said, you think that you have 12 strands of DNA. That's just nonsense. Okay.
Most of you guys watching have.
Yeah. And they were like, well, ultimately, we have the power to amplify our strands of DNA and to bring the this medicine of our DNA to amplify, but to also expand and to become more. And it almost is like it's the building blocks of the universe that's co-creating within itself, you know, within our bodies. And the medicine lies in there when we begin to amplify and activate our DNA, and you can speak more into that from your experience. That's when we can truly unlock our superhuman abilities. You know, we can truly activate a higher layer of or level of consciousness, different streams of energy that's coming through. So in your experience, what have you experienced through your DNA activations?
Oh my gosh, so much. I mean, I really see DNA activation as almost like synonymous with the human evolutionary process, with awakening, with enlightenment, however you want to kind of word it. It's like it's the same thing in my eyes, right? It is becoming. I mean, you can use the word superhuman, you can use the words like your God self, your higher self, whatever that is, right? So, you know, yes, very much like dormant gifts and abilities coming online for people. The ability to have spiritual sight into certain things, the ability to do certain things with energy, with their voice, right? These are things, but also it's like, yeah, I mean, the less kind of like sexy and cool things can be, I mean, they're really exciting for me, right? The ability for someone to access the frequency of love in their heart, you know? To be able to show up differently in relationship to someone. Like these are big things to me. Or their spiritual gifts and abilities might come through in a different way, but I see it as just as spiritual. For example, you know, I was saying this actually on a different podcast this morning. She was asking great questions. And, you know, it was like, if someone has, for example, like a code within them of like profound gentleness, like they have that and it emanates, and that's meant to emanate from their being in a way that is just medicine for the world, like that can unlock and open. And it's not encumbered by a bunch of this like weird programming and stuff, right? And then they become this like, I don't know, beacon of pure gentleness and on the planet, right? And it's not that everyone, you know, activates and then we're all the same expression of source, because that wouldn't be any fun at all. Like, and again, we wouldn't have any need for human bodies that are kind of, you know, separate, so to speak, in this dimension from one another. Like, we will have our own unique codes that unlock for us. And so really what I love most is seeing people just come more into their own very unique expression of the divine. And we were speaking about connection before, right? And how the lack of connection and distortion around connection can lead to so much that is destructive on an individual level and on a collective level. Well, DNA activation is like, I mean, it will connect you to where you know that you can never be separate. Like, you know, it's like your DNA is the planet's DNA, is everyone else's, you know what I mean? There, you become attuned to the fabric of consciousness in a different way, where you no longer perceive disconnection in the same capacity. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. It is so important. And it is important to understand that we are incredibly unique. I went to this beautiful gathering last Friday, and the facilitator was saying to the group that you're a unique expression right now at this point of time that will never be again. It is absolutely completely unique to this time, to this reality, and to fully embrace that uniqueness and honor yourself so much in this moment. And, you know, a second ago, you can never have that back. So appreciate, be grateful for every single second of the moment, for your body feeling vibrant, healthy, alive, you know, for your heart beating. The simple things in life are often the most important things in life. And this celebrating our uniqueness and not looking, I feel like we've become very same in a world where social media is making us look at other people and go, I want to be like that, you know. Celebrate your unique coding, but because your unique coding, isn't it, it's translated through your body, the way that we look, the way that we move, the way that we speak, way we hold ourselves. And it's about time, I feel, that every single human being begins to honor and deeply reconnect with that divinity of, you know, that uniqueness that you hold. And yes, there are universal codes that are here to activate all of those beautiful parts of ourselves, to bring all of those beautiful parts back into ourselves, isn't it? So, and I feel very much that's what your work is here to do as well, to help people remember who they are. And I love that you speak into the expression of a person, because often people make it wrong. Oh, I'm so shy, you know, I feel so much, and maybe I'm wrong. Nonsense. There is nothing wrong, is it? Do you want to speak more into that as well?
Oh, I love that. Yes. No, I feel this is so, so important, because again, with what you were sharing about, you know, what we see on social media and what we, you know, it's like, I've had people sit in front of me and they're like, I don't have any gifts. And I'm like, what are you, you know, just because you don't happen to have the same gifts as me or as Natalie, or you're not doing these things that you think would make you really cool and special, like you are really cool and special, and you embodied into the unique genetic structure that you have, you know, for a reason, you know, with these codes, because they are needed, because it is a very much needed element of the whole puzzle. It just wouldn't be if that wasn't the case. And so I think it can be a process for a lot of people, because there are certain things culturally, right, that are valued maybe more than others. And this can also be in our family system, or just when we see people online. Again, it's so important, I feel like, to have also like people in our environment to celebrate and reflect those qualities back to us, to really get that that mirroring of how we can impact people. And this is also a great reminder. You can be that person for someone else. Like, you can tell them, you know, I really appreciate the way that you listen. It causes me to feel so deeply seen and heard and safe. I can just feel you receiving the information that I'm sharing in your heart and with your whole body. And I just really value that. you know? Like, can we practice valuing each other in our uniqueness at the same time as we're practicing valuing ourselves in our uniqueness? We're all part of the same organism. We're like cells in the body, you know? Not every cell is doing the same thing. Not every cell is meant to do the same thing, but we make up, you know, the whole picture of divinity together.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. That is beautifully explained. And I invite, you know, those of you that's listening to this to really anchor that into your bodies. Let that land for you. Celebrating the uniqueness in other people means you're also celebrating the uniqueness in yourself, because we are so connected and we are always mirroring to each other. And if someone's triggering you, it means that that's a mirror to what's needing to be seen and heard and understood at a greater level within you. And I feel that when we understand the point of you know, divine unification, that interplay of masculine, feminine, that interplay of, you know, being able to create a container for you to be held within your own self, and then allowing the feminine energy to move through you to bring in the activations, the flow of life and the divinity. You know, there's this beautiful piece of information that's then being relayed from through your cells into your reality, into your relationships, into your experiences, into every single thing that you touch. You are frequency. You're vibrating. You're a vibrating, beautiful ball of light. Okay. And to celebrate every single part of you. And I guess, you know, we are almost at the end of this conversation, but if there is anything that you can leave people with, that you would like to anchor in for them, what would that be?
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually just really feeling like this thread that's woven its way through our conversation today of self-love. And, you know, I think this has to do a lot with really just, I mean, self-love can feel like an abstract concept or kind of like a jump for people a lot of the time. I think it's really accepting and meeting every part of you exactly where you're at in this moment, and in this way, like calling all of those aspects of you back in to, you know, to your embodiment and to the light that is you. You can notice those things, you can hold those things, you can love those things, and you can also know that that's not the full truth of you, you know. These are things you're carrying, right? And the more you also fill up that well, that, you know, kind of amplifies that spark of the divine, whatever that is for you, it could be through my work or through Natalie's work too, like energetically, like opening that, activating that, unlocking that, the more you anchor into that, the more you can hold space for that, all of this, you know, this polarity within yourself and within the world, because it's the same.
Yeah. There you have it, my loves. Open eyes, open mind, open heart. Always approach life with, you know, opening your eyes to who you are, what is possible for you in every aspect of your life, and really keeping an open mind around that as well. Often we get so trapped in our own mental and emotional whirlpool, you know, that it's very easy for us to lose ourselves. And that's where we come back to the heart, to the love, like you said, and just infuse and be that love and allow yourself to be surrounded by those people that love you, that see you for who you are, because that reflection then helps you to see who you are.
Yes, it's like a beautiful kind of feedback system we've got going on there, isn't it?
Well, my love, thank you so much for this beautiful conversation. Oh, I feel like
thank
we can
you.
Continue talking forever.
I could always talk to you for like 8 hours.
Well, maybe one day we will have a marathon, you know, a marathon chat.
That would be great.
If you want to look up Julia and her work, the links will be here below the podcast. But please, always come back to that point of embodiment as well. If you feel disconnected from yourself, come back to the body, come back to that space of nurturing and nourishing yourself. The message, especially for humanity at the moment, is to go into a space of winter for a little bit. We've had a lot of upgrades. And so there is a sense that a lot of human beings, not everyone, because the other day I spoke to a client and she was like, I'm ready to rumble. I want to move. I want to go. I'm like,
Yeah, there's
okay,
always those
okay.
that are like,
No.
"Wee!"
Okay, but let's just see what's underneath that for a moment. There's always something underneath. Anyway, so take time to nourish yourself, to nurture yourself, to love yourself. And it's very interesting that you just before we go, that you mentioned, that concept of love. Sometimes people don't understand that what that is. But if you can find kindness, if you can go sit in nature and find the peace that nature brings, that's also love. Okay. Just surround yourself with that and wrap yourself in that. All right, my loves. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Thank you, Julia, for
Thank
your
you guys
wisdom and
so
your
much.
beautiful energy. Much love from my heart to
Thank
yours.
you, Natalie.
See you soon.